move. Gimel Kislev, Tuesday 21st of November, Dayan Yehoshua Posen, Rivis at work. This week's tow away has been sponsored by the Dayan's family on the 20th yacht site of his late father, Frank Posen.
Today. I picked this topic because as a natural progression from the shiur we had a few weeks ago, but particularly because, unfortunately, sometimes it almost seems to Dayanim that when people get to work, they, if I can be harsh, leave the couple at the door. You know, the one is a bit more alert in one's everyday life in certain areas of halacha. And sometimes business is business, you know, just like people think they don't mix business with pleasure, sometimes it's, unfortunately, we don't mix business with halacha. And therefore today I'd like to focus on the main ribbis aspects which are relevant to the workplace. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia, as we've mentioned here a number of times, it's worth mentioning again, a person gets up in the morning, goes to work, he's going to work because many, many years ago, Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, and therefore we have a that person's got a chiyuv to make a panosu. But nevertheless, so therefore the whole reason why one goes to work is in order to make that panosu. Says the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Ayin Aleph, Kol Amalva Beribis Nechosel Mismoititzen. Whoever lends with interest, whoever charges interest, will lose their possessions, will lose their estate. And if you learn through the sugya, you'll see two interesting ha'oras to this. First of all, it's clear in the Gemara that this applies even if a person is malva bribis by mistake. Without intention, not to my person who sat down and has made a conscious decision that they're not going to worry about the transgression of a bribis, they're going to lend and charge with interest. Even somebody who didn't realize that this particular method of transaction was a problem, it also applies. And furthermore, if you learn through the sugya with Rashi and Tosis, then you'll see that the particular case which the Gemara is speaking about was a case of bribis drabonim, not Dafka Ribis Deraisa. So we're talking about even the Isurim of Ribis Drabonon, this halacha of Kolamal of Ribis Nechosim Ismitin would apply. So you can have up a big, staff in your office with schoolers and all gewaltige Sachen, and your business is carrying out Ribis on a regular basis, and you don't understand why you're not seeing Hatzlacha, says the Gemara, you don't need to look any further than these particular areas. In the last year, and on numerous occasions before, and you should know, Gyan Hari, one gives a shiur to the Oedim here, one doesn't realize the size of the shiurim. The shiurim in this shiur of Gyan Hari is probably three times the size, because the ha'oras that come up from people who weren't in the shiur, but who listen online, on the way to work, or wherever it might be. So this is actually a much bigger Besser Medrash than we might give credit to.
Sure.
But the scenario which you mentioned a number of times before, I'm going to go through it very quickly because, first of all, you've all heard it from me enough, and second of all, because it's Chazor of the last year, but I need to go through it in order that you can understand where we're going to apply it now in the workplace. The scenario which you mentioned many times before is the scenario of mortgages. It's the scenario where you have a parent, the parent wants to help their children purchase a property, the children can't purchase it in their name or they can't get the mortgage, whatever it might be. So the parent purchases the property in the parent's name. The parent applies for the mortgage from the bank. And the property, and this is the crucial factor, the property in reality, al pi halacha, belongs to the children. Now when we say in reality, al pi halacha, even from a legal perspective, as we've mentioned before, there is nothing wrong with one person purchasing the property in his name, which really he is holding on trust. When I say on trust, it doesn't have to be a legally registered trust. If all parties would admit the truth, and he would admit that I actually bought this for my son, and sometimes the down payment, the deposit, would have actually come from the son or the daughter or the mechutanim, whatever it might be, then legally as well, this property, if all parties admit that this is what happens, even though it's in my name, I really purchased it for somebody else, and I'm holding it on trust for them, then legally as well, the beneficial ownership is owned by the person who you're holding it for. The ribbis problem was, and is, that what looks like two transactions is really, in fact, one transaction. What looks like one, rather, is really two. Here, the father goes and he borrows money from the bank to purchase a house. That's the one transaction. But in reality, it's two transactions because the bank are lending the mortgage to the father, to the parent, and the parent is in turn lending those funds to the child to purchase the property. Lending it. V'haraya, if the child would sell that property, the parent normally, in most scenarios, the parent would not be happy for the child to walk off with the entire sum. That mortgage, that capital, needs to be paid back to the bank. So therefore, it's understood, min hastam, you might have exceptional cases where the parent is prepared to take the whole loan on himself and is gifting the house in its entirety, but normally the property is bought for the child, but the capital of the mortgage is meant to be paid back by the child, apart from the interest. So therefore, as we mentioned before, this is a problem of ribis. It's an extremely common scenario, and pashtus, every single monthly payment is ribis deraisa, which not only is the son over, but the parents over, actually more assumed than the child. The reason why people don't recognize this scenario as being a ribis scenario, when I say people, I mean including learned people, don't see it. They don't see it unless it's actually spelled out to them. It's very simple. Ribis, as we think of it, is if I lend you money and I'm charging you interest and I'm gaining, financially gaining from lending you those funds, so I've benefited. And because I've benefited, that is ribis. In this particular scenario, the parent is not only not gaining, he's possibly even losing. Because in this particular scenario, the parent is passing on the full interest that is paid by his child. Sometimes the child pays it direct to the bank. So all the funds are paid direct to the bank, the parent doesn't gain, and the parent's credit limit might be affected and other areas to the parent, and then the day the parent is on the line for this loan policy, that's the whole source of the problem. So people don't see it as being a problem. He's a shliach, he's doing me a tova. Right? No one actually, unless it's spelled out, recognizes that what's happening here is the parent is borrowing and the parent is lending it on. And the halacha is very clear. In such a case where one yid borrows money from a goy, even if the goy is levying an interest charge on yid number one, yid number one lends the money on to yid number two, you cannot pass on that interest charge. So let's take that model that we now recognize as being a problem and bring that into the office. Now this scenario happens in the workplace in two similar but different ways, and we have to analyze if in each particular area there's a problem or there isn't a problem. You have two shutvim. Two shutvim start up a partnership together. For the moment, we're not differentiating whether the partnership is a limited partnership or a company or a not limited partnership. Let's leave that for now. You've got two shutvim who start up a business together. Sometime during the course of events, the partnership requires further funds. Further funds, and maybe they can't get hold of the funds, maybe the company itself can't borrow any more than what it's borrowed already. So Reuven has the facility to borrow funds. So Reuven comes to Shimon and he says, no problem, I will borrow on my overdraft facility funds for the company, funds for the partnership. I will lend it to the company, and of course the company has to pay the bill because I'm doing the company a tovah here. Is that a problem or is that not a problem? This is Ma'ase B'Cholyim. It's Ma'ase B'Cholyim that one partner has access to funds that the other partner might not have and has to charge interest. Of course, I'm not talking about a scenario where Reuven is obtaining the funds from another yid with a heter iska. We're talking about where Reuven is obtaining the funds from a bank or from a place where there's no heter iska at all. And we're talking about a place where Reuven is being charged interest and he wants to pass on that interest charge to the company or to the partnership. Is that a problem? Now, based on everything we've said till now, that should absolutely be a problem. Because, if you analyse, Reuven is borrowing £100,000 from the bank. He's lending £100,000 to the partnership, of which he's a 50% shareholder, and his shutav Shimon is a 50% shareholder. The way the halacha analyses that is that every pound lent to the partnership, 50 pence is being lent to Reuven, and 50 pence is being lent to Shimon, even though they're both jointly and severally liable on the funds. So therefore, there's no problem on the interest which Reuven's half of the business is paying Reuven, because he's paying from one pocket to the other pocket. But the problem is 50% of the funds being lent to the company are, so to speak, being lent to Shimon. And this is because, al pi halacha, we do not look at a company as being a completely separate entity, the way that the law does. We look at a company as being effectively shutrim. Again, we're not speaking about from the ribbis of Moshe will come to again remind us again shortly. But we look at the company as being a sum total of its shutrim. So at the end of the day, if you lend £100,000 to two partners, you're lending really £50,000 to each. And the other ones are cross-collateralized between each other. Therefore, when Shimon's half of the business, which of course is no two halves, this is one business, But when Reuben passes on a 5% charge on the entire 100,000, the 5% which is paid from Shimon's half of the business is Ribis, because effectively Reuben has lent Shimon the funds, and Shimon is now paying interest to Reuben, and that's a problem. And that's a problem. However, it depends which scenario, whether it's clear that there's a problem or whether there's a debate whether there's a problem. Lekuli Alma, if Reuben, who's obtaining these funds, is a silent partner, then it's awesome. Lekuli Alma. Unless we're talking about lending the funds to a company where there's limited liability, where the partners themselves aren't liable, then we have Ramosha's Shitta, which you mentioned a number of times, where Ramosha holds that there's no problem of Ribis if the Lova is a limited company. We'll come back to that later on. But if you put Ramosha's Psak aside, then Lekuli Alma, when the person providing the funds is a silent partner who's not active in the business, right? So often the silent partner, by definition, is the one who brings his own funds, right, to the table, and etc. But here it's where he now manages to get hold of more funds, but he passes on the interest charge to the business. That's a problem. Lekuli Alma. Where is there a debate? In a situation where the misasik, the active partner, or sometimes both partners in a partnership can be active, don't always have a silent partner, where an active partner is obtaining the funds from his bank or from an outside financier, and he's paying interest on that, and he's passing on that interest charge to the company, to the partnership, that is a matter of debate. That's a matter of debate. The Taz says a chiddush, the Taz in Yerodei Kuf Ayin, Sikok and Gimel, the Taz says a chiddush. Now, it's hard for me to explain this chiddush because I'm not clear on it myself. I'm in good company because neither is the Chavos Taz. But the Taz says a chiddush, I'll tell you the words of the Taz. The Taz says that when the misasik is the one who's going to be borrowing the funds for the business, and in turn he's the one who's going to be paying the interest, since the misasik, the active partner, is the one who takes care of all of the bills of the business. He's paying the electricity bill, and the transport bill, and the wage bill, and the interest bill. So we consider that as if this is not him, mummish, borrowing the money and lending the business. This is the business. He is the business. He's running the business, and he's borrowing for the business. And we, so to speak, ignore the fact that there's two stages going on here. Now, I probably haven't done a good job of explaining it because I'm not clear on it myself. Says the Chavos Taz, this makes no sense. Says the Chavos Taz, why is it different? What do we care whether it's the silent partner who borrows personally liable and then lends to the partnership, or it's the active partner who borrows, is personally liable, and then lends to the partnership? Either way, there's two stages. There's one Yid who is borrowing from a goy. He is chayv to pay that money back personally to the goy. He then lends it on to two Yidin, one of which is not himself. So you still have the same scenario, the same model, of one Yid lending to another Yid funds which he borrowed from a goy, which you cannot pass on the ribbis charge. So the Chavos Taz doesn't understand it, and therefore the Chavos Taz, b'doichuk, says that the Taz is talking about a different scenario. The Taz is talking about a scenario where the misasik never had permission from his partner, from the silent partner, to borrow funds for the business. The misasik is the one who's busy with the business, right? He knows what's going on. All of a sudden, he's short. He thinks, you know what? I'll borrow some money from my bank. I'll lend it to the company. I know what's going on because I'm running everything here. This is where things start to go wrong. Right? I know what's going on, and I'm just going to borrow a bit here. I'll pay it back. My shutter doesn't even have to know about it. So in that situation, says the Chavos Taz, Shimon was never liable for the loan. Because Reuven had no permission to borrow funds for the company. Reuven had no permission to expose the company to this debt. And therefore, had things gone wrong, Shimon would not be chayav to pay from his half. And says the Chavos Taz, only in such a situation do we say there aren't two stages. Because when Reuven borrows funds and he lends it to the company, he's not actually lending it to the company, because the company accepts no liability, because he had no permission to do this. No, because at the end of the day, there's a shipboard.
In all the expenses, so there's
again, the Taz might be going along something like that, but how and why that works in the Meister doesn't make it's very difficult to understand. So the Chavos Taz is making the Taz in a specific scenario, which is an unusual scenario, hopefully, which is where the misasik, the active partner, is borrowing funds for the company without permission. He doesn't have a remit to do that. And only in that situation is there no problem with Ribis, because simply put, he hasn't really lent it to the company. But, says the Chavos Klaas, in a normal scenario, where the active partner has permission from his partner, or he's got a mandate to do this, he doesn't even need to check with his partner, because this is part of how he is entitled to trade with the company. In such a situation, says the Chavos Klaas, it's us. Doesn't make a difference, the silent partner or the active partner.
Also, along? Sorry, in the other case where he didn't know about it, if he finds out about it,
and keeps quiet
from that point onwards?
That's a good shayla. Let's leave that for now, because that is negir to a number of different dinatoria, where one partner finds out in the middle that their partner isn't acting kaseder, and they don't say anything. Do we say that's shita peidot, or do we say that, no, you accepted this liability on yourself, because you have no right to do it, and now I'm laughing, because if it's matzliach, the partnership gains. If it's not matzliach, I'm going to sue you in bezin, because at the end of the day, you have no right to do that. So that's an idn. Says the Shulchan Aruch Harav. The Shulchan Aruch Harav paskins like the Taz, right? Paskins like the Taz, but he limits the Taz to a specific scenario. He says the Taz is only talking about where the company or the partnership is only liable to pay the interest from profits. From profits, that means if the company is profitable, from the revachim, from the profits, then you can take interest from there. But there's no liability on the partnership to pay from the capital of the partnership. In such a scenario, says Shulchan Aruch Harav, then it's okay for the misasik to borrow and lend onto the company. And in fact, the Chochmas Adam goes one step further. The Chochmas Adam also passes out the Taz. And the Chochmas Adam says, no, even if, now listen very carefully here, even if the interest can be taken from the assets of the company or partnership, as long as they can't be taken from the people personally, then it's mutter. Now that sounds awfully like Reb Moshe. That sounds very, very close to Reb Moshe, who holds that whenever you're lending to a limited company, then since there's no shibud aguf on the owners of that company, not because we recognize the company as being a separate entity, but because there's no shibud aguf, that's how Reb Moshe learns, that when you lend a limited company, there's no shibud aguf. In fact, last week I was in America and I had the schus to speak to David Feinstein, and in the discussion I asked him, Reb Moshe, did Reb Moshe hold lechachila one can rely on this without needing any hetzer skill or whatever? And he said, yes, absolutely. Now again, here in England, most of the postmen don't use this Reb Moshe, but there is a Reb Moshe. So, this sounds a lot like Reb Moshe, but it isn't the same as Reb Moshe. Because the Chochmas Adam would agree that if the silent partner borrowed from a goy and lent it to the company, even if there was no liability, it would still be awesome. He's only explaining Chatter the Taz, and the Taz is very, very clear, makes a clear distinction between the active partner and the silent partner. So, Chochmas Adam's coming out with a new Chiddush. Now, let me put a question to you. Now, this is always dangerous to do when we're on the clock, but let me put a Shaila to you like this. Right, and this is a good example of where partners need to keep their eyes open to make sure they know what's going on in the business and speak out clearly what's just happened, because otherwise, afterwards, you should know probably 80% of Dinei Torah because things weren't clarified at the beginning, and either partners don't realize they're on a different page to begin with, or with time and negias, people end up on a different page and nothing was ever clarified at the beginning. But let me give you a shine and ask you what you feel quickly. Reuven the Misasik, let's forget Hilchos Ribos for a moment. Let's learn Hilchos Cheshe Mishpat. Reuven the Misasik, he's the active partner in the business. The business needs funds. He goes and borrows from his overdraft facility, and he lends it to the company. Right? He lends it to the company.
Limited or not?
He lends it to the company, which is a limited company.
It is a limited company.
Wait, the company is a limited company. What is your understanding? You've got Reuven and Shimon in this business. What is, you know, let's make it even better. Let's say Shimon's also misasik. They're both working in the business on a daily basis. And now they need funds. So Reuven goes and he gets all the funds and he lends it to the company. What is your understanding as far as Shimon's personal liability on these funds?
Does Shimon know about it?
Yes, he knows about it, he sanctioned it. What's your understanding as to Shimon's liability on the funds which Reuven has provided to the business?
50%.
They're both responsible. Sorry?
He borrowed debt.
He borrowed from his personal bank account. Correct. So Shimon should be liable. Anyone have a different opinion?
No. 50-50. No. If Reuven borrowed his own overdraft,
yeah.
Shimon's not liable for that.
Reuven borrows it from his overdraft to lend to the company.
Knowledge
of shoes. Okay, green lights, whatever you want to go.
Why not 50-50?
So it should be 50-50 personally liable. Does everyone agree, does he?
Yeah,
It's not established beforehand that Shimon is actually personally liable, and it's his father who lives in the bank.
There's lots to talk about. Sorry, Mr. Gold. Sorry. Right. Okay. No. Sorry. As far as the bank is concerned, the bank don't know anything about Shimon. Reuven has borrowed the money from his personal overdraft for the company. Each partner's liable. Okay, I'm gonna move on, right? I think you can see there are some differences of opinion. Let me cheat, right? Let me add a bit more information, right? Now, anytime someone asks you shyness, you need to know a bit more information. Would it make a difference if I added a little bit of colour and came up with two different variations of the same situation? The first variation of the same situation is where the company itself, can get hold of borrowing at whatever kind of, at 5%, let's say, and Shimon turns to Reuven and says, listen, but you can get hold of the money at 3% because you've got an extra good finance option, so you borrow the money. That's option number one. Option number two is where Reuven comes to Shimon and says to Shimon, Meshiga, why are we paying 5% to whichever bank it is? Let me lend the money from my, from wherever it is. I'm getting at the moment on my savings account 3%. Let me borrow the money, take it out of my savings account, lend it to the company. Let me get 5%. Chosh, I should be Mariach. Does it make a difference, those two scenarios?
4%.
Sorry? 5%. 4%. What difference? The company was
cheaper than the bank.
5% even. Does it make a difference, these two scenarios? So we have limited time. Let me talk you through why it might make a difference, right? Questions like this. When Shimon comes to Reuven and says, listen here, we can get hold of the funds from the bank, but the rate's very high, you can get hold of a better rate, he's asking Reuven for a toiva. Right? Reuven's kavana is never to do a toiva for the business where he is left hanging, holding the can, he's left personally liable, and Shimon can walk off into the sunset. That was never the intention. Minastam, if you're asking me to go out on a limb, the toiva's our business, the least I expect is what most people here assumed, is that you're also going out on a limb. Yes, I'm the one who's actually obtaining it from my bank, but you're also going to be achori. That should be the minimum. But in the other scenario, where the company was going to borrow from the bank in a limited capacity, at 5%, and Reuven comes to Shimon and says, Chaval, why should you pay 5% to the bank? Let Michoch be maviach from it. Shimon, when he gives the okay, was masking to mirror the same terms. That means, instead of us paying 5% to the bank, why should we pay 5% to you? No problem, I'm happy that. Magia lecha, I forgive you, no problem. But not if that now all of a sudden opens me up to be personally liable on a loan which I was never liable to begin with. If the company was to borrow in a limited capacity, then I wouldn't have been liable for that loan. So you want us to pay you the same percentage we're paying the bank? No problem. But not if you're changing the terms. Not if all of a sudden I'm exposed where I was never exposed before. So you can hear how the same situation with a little bit of a shinui, who came to who first, etc., could. Now, I'm not saying any of this black and white, right? But you can hear that the shinui with all of these situations is establishing what was the default position, right? Not what was spoken about, not what was signed on. What was minastam? What was understood between the parties? And here you can understand there might be a difference depending on the scenario. So let's come back to our shinui. In a situation where Reuven has come to Shimon and asked him, lend me the money. So then we're saying, Parshas, it will be understood. Sorry, let me lend the money instead and get paid. Parshas, it will be understood that it's a limited capacity. If it's in a limited capacity, so first of all, in any case, you've got Reb Moshe, right? And second of all, apart from that, you've got the Chochmas Adam, who says the Chochmas Adam, in such a situation where it's limited to the assets of the company and you can't go after the person, the Taz, if Reuven is the misasik, or a misasik, he's the one who's an active partner, then you have the Taz who says, it's okay. However, if the situation was that Shimon turns to Reuven and says, you get hold of it, you can get a better rate, whatever it is, so then we understood that Reuven was doing a tova, but not that he should be exposed with a full achrayas, and Shimon's got no liability whatsoever, so then they would both be personally liable on the loan. Then you don't have a Moshe either, and you don't have a Chochmas Adam, you don't have any shittas. The only shittas we have left is the Taz. Now the Chesh of Eifrid, Rav Padva, paskens like this Taz. Neged the Chavos Tas. But he himself says at the end of his Tshuva, Cheshev Eifed, I'm just trying to find the Marimakim, sorry. Cheshev Eifed, Chelepes, Tshuva Yud Zalad. At the end he says, Miu Achei Kol Zoyisim, Efshe, Bekal, Blotzeis, Gam Yidei, Shittas Chavos Tas, Vazai Meyos, Atzoy, Tzorot, Lassis, Kin, Vari Zed, Tzov, Kal, Lassis, Hetze Iska. Says Cheshev Eifed, Avada, if you can sort this out easier, the Hetze Iska, and that way you'll include as well the Chavos Tas, of course that's the best way to do it. So those are the shitters, right? Those are the shitters, and pashtos one should not be semich on this taz, for sure not in a case where there's personal liability on Shimon, the other shutev. One point which you have to add in here, very very important, is this whole discussion is only talking about. That means this whole shaila of the taz and the nosa kenu on the taz is exclusively talking about where the misasik, the active partner, is borrowing the funds from a goy who's charging interest. It is not talking about where the misasik is lending his own personal funds to the business. So for example, if the misasik would have money sitting in a savings account, and his shutter comes to him and says, Chaval, why should we pay 5%? You're getting paid 3% on your savings account. Lend your money to the business, and we'll pay you this. I'll match the same 3%. That lekuliyam was awesome. Because even though it's true, think about it for a second, it's such a posh adzach. Any time a Yid lends another Yid money, he could have had that money in the bank making interest. Always, ready to go back all the way to the Torah. When a Yid lends another Yid, he's not allowed to charge interest. If he would lend a Goy, he'd be able to charge interest. And the reason for that distinction is because there's nothing ethically wrong with charging interest, as long as both people agree to what's going on. But between brothers, Klal Yisrael, we're expected to have a higher level of the interrelationship between each other. Right? So therefore, always, from day one, the Issa of Ribis was talking about a scenario where the Malveh can make money on his money, if he can make interest on his money if he would lend it to a Goy. And nevertheless, it's also to charge interest when you're lending to a Yid. So the same thing here. If I've got my money in a savings account and I'm making 3%, and now my Shutzah says, you know, lend it to us together and charge us, we'll pay the same money you're getting, but that's also. That's also the same way as if a private person went up to someone else and said, you know, lend me the money you've got in your savings account and I'll pay you, I'll match whatever the bank's providing. Without a Hetz Iska, that's Vada also. Now, you have about 3 minutes to do quite a lot, so I'm going to try and squeeze in. Two main points I want to squeeze in. Number one, and we can't do justice to this, but number one, the Padda said that what one should do is have a Hetz Iska. This is not going to be a regular Hetz Iska. Because if you think about it, we've discussed Hetz Iska a number of times before, and the whole way how a Hetz Iska works is the person who's giving over the funds says, I'm not mechuyev to believe you that my money hasn't made a profit, or that my capital has been lost, and unless you provide edim on the capital, or shvur, you make a shvur on the profits, then if you don't want to do that, then pay me back the capital with an agreed percentage return, and it has to be a fair return, as we discussed, and shonwan yisro. In this scenario, Reuven is the misasik. Right? We're talking about where Reuven is the misasik. He's the active partner. There's no way in the world that Reuven can turn around and say to Shimon, I have just invested in the company. I don't believe you that the company didn't make a profit. Or I don't believe you that the company made a loss, and therefore you have to pay me unless you... What do you mean you don't believe me? You're giving me the figures. I'm the silent partner, I've got no idea what's going on. You're running the company, how can you turn around and say to me, you don't believe me, you are the same person. You're the person who's making the figures, you're the person who's running the company, and you're the person who lent to the company. So you can't have a Hetz Iska which is exclusively to the assets of the company. At the same time, you don't necessarily want personal liability, so maybe this is a subject for another year, but this itself, you can't have a regular Hetz Iska, there's a certain type of Hetz Iska. And one more point I'm going to mention, let me just bring one more point. The same scenario works the other way round, and this is extremely common. You have a company, your Shutzos, which has an overdraft facility. And one partner wants to borrow money from the company's overdraft facility because he needs to make a chasna, or whatever it is he needs to do. And the Shutzos is okay with it, he's good for it, and he's not worried. You have the same scenario, again, we're not going to spell out all the solution now, but just you should be aware of the problem. When the company together borrows £100,000, let's call it £10,000, borrows £10,000, really, even though they're both jointly and severally liable, the way the halacha looks at it is, you can't have two people borrowing the same pound. When the bank lends me and you a pound, it cannot be that I borrowed a pound and you borrowed a pound. There's only £1. So the halacha looks at it that we've each borrowed 50 pence, but we're each liable for the other one's 50 pence. Right? So we've each borrowed 50, but we're both jointly and severally liable for the other one's money. Now if that's the case, when you borrow £10,000 from a bank on the company overdraft, and now Reuven walks off with all of that money for personal reasons, then really what's happened is Shimon has lent his 5,000 to Reuven. And in turn, Reuven is going to pay the entire interest bill. And you have the same problem. You have the same problem that really Reuven and Shimon are borrowing together, and Shimon's lending his money to Reuven, in which case you've got right to a problem. Shkoyach.